Welcome in to Extra Innings, and I'm really delighted to talk to my guest today. Grew up in Hollister, California. Let's bring him in. Let's bring in, welcome Connor Menez to the show. How you doing, Connor?
Bill, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure to have you, too. I've been following you for a long time. I got a quick story to tell you. We did radio, Vita Blue and I did radio back in 16, 17, and we were interviewing your grandfather, Bill Plummer, on a Cincinnati Red show. And right at the end of the conversation, he said, "Hey, I want to tell you something. My grandson just got drafted 2016 in the 14th round of the San Francisco Giants." Since then, Connor, I've been following you through your whole minor league career. So Bill Plummer really pumped you up. Good grandfather right there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know. I love Bill. I mean, he's a freaking man. Him and I always talk to each other back and forth about outings and stuff. So he's definitely one of my big supporters.
Well, I tell you what, him being a backup catcher to Johnny Bench, he saw a lot of good pitching, and he's definitely a master of that. And he was at your Major League Baseball debut, which was at Oracle Park. I saw him. Crook and Kipe were talking about him, and I just think it's a cool story to have him in your bloodline.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's been there through my whole career, and it's been fun picking his brain on helping me through my journey from all the way since I was freaking probably 7 or 8 years old all the way till pro ball. So he's been great to have a good resource through my career.
Well, let's start off. You grew up in Hollister, California, really a bed for baseball and softball. You went to San Benito High School, and right then and there, what other sports did you play besides baseball? Did you at all?
Nope, I was straight baseball. That's all I played. I was pretty small in high school, and I wanted to play football, but then there was in the back of my mind, I was seeing all these other my friends getting hurt that both played football and baseball. So I'm like, nope, I'm just going to stick with baseball and see how far I can go with that.
How did you do in San Benito? How was your junior and senior year?
Junior, senior year were good. Junior year didn't get as much playing time as I would like, but I mean, it was just kind of, I was just on the smaller end, I would say, of the statue of guys, and I didn't throw that hard, but my senior year was kind of where I kind of blossomed and had a decent year, still, like, didn't throw the hardest. That's why I didn't get a whole lot of looks through college, but it was still a good time in San Benito. I always will enjoy those memories.
So you moved on to Masters University. Tell us a little bit about where Masters is and why you chose Masters.
Yeah, so the Masters University, small Christian school out of Santa Clarita, California. Right as you come down the Grapevine, down to 5 in Southern California, it's kind of right there by like Magic Mountain right there. So it's a small NAIA school. And the reason why I picked it was I've had a lot of family members go to that school. I had my aunt go there, my uncle, my dad went there for a couple semesters. And so it's kind of just almost like, not really family's tradition, but a lot of family members have gone there, and the head coach there was willing to give me a scholarship to go play there. So that's what kind of went down that route.
Well, I tell you what, you put some numbers up there, 20-5 with a 2.26 earned run average, lowest in school history. How was the competition? Was it pretty good? What division was Masters?
Yeah, so the Masters University, it's an NAIA school. So the competition isn't like quite there at the D1 school, but there are some really good players in there. Like, I forget, like my year out of our conference, we had like close to 10 guys drafted out of there. So, I mean, we're in Southern California, so we get a lot of good competition down there. A lot of times it's like some D1 dropouts that'll come and just play NAIA school. So there's some, we had some good hitters, good pitchers that come out of that league. And so I thought it was quite a decent league, but that's all I played.
That voice you hear is Connor Menez on Extra Innings. So we're getting into the draft. As we said earlier, you got drafted in the 2016 draft in the 14th round. Excited to sign? Were you excited to know it was the Giants? Because I know that was your team when you were growing up. You followed them.
Oh, yeah. Ecstatic. Like, that day, I'll never forget. It was great. It was with my family. And especially, I didn't really hear from the Giants in the draft at all. I knew that they had some older interest in me, but I didn't really hear from them in the draft. And so, literally, my name just popped up on the screen, and they drafted in the 14th round by the San Francisco Giants. And, of course, everyone goes crazy, my family, and was there, and some friends. And so, that was definitely one of the highlights of my life, that's for sure.
When you were watching the Giants, was there certain pitchers you followed back then?
Oh, yeah. Like, I watched Bumgarner growing up, Posey, Crawford, Belt, a lot of those guys, Brian Wilson. Like, I grew up just watching those guys. Tim Lincecum was one of my favorites to watch, too. I remember I got a Tim Lincecum jersey when I was, I think, from, like, my 12th birthday. And then somehow my dad got me, like, sweet tickets up in when it was AT&T Park out there, and I think it was my 12th birthday. We got these tickets in a suite up there, and I thought that was just amazing. So and I had my Lincecum jersey on and everything, and so that's when Barry Bonds was playing, I think, in left field too. So it was, I'll never forget that day of having my 12th birthday up there in AT&T Park.
So when you signed with the Giants, you ended up going to Arizona League. How was it when you first came in there and you put that Giants uniform? Was it just an exciting point for you finally to sign, and now you're with the team you followed as a kid, and now you get to put the uniform on for the first time?
Oh, absolutely, especially putting that uniform on for the first time down there in Adel. It was great. It didn't matter what the climate was, what the competition was. I was just, you know, a happy camper, and it was great to be able to go out there and compete.
Well, let's go back in time a little bit. 2017, your first year, Arizona League, and then Salem, Kaiser, Volcanoes. In 2017, you were with the San Jose Giants, where you were 4-1, 53 and a third innings pitched, just a little over a four earned run average. But these numbers were just fabulous. Through those three different leagues, you were 7-7 with a 4-4-1. Anything difficult when you were going through that? Was it a time where you were just trying to check out how hitters were and trying to feel your way through it?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially like coming from college, it's always trying to get a feel of how these hitters work, how these hitters work, and how my stuff plays against them, especially going through the ranks through rookie ball, Salem, and San Jose. It was just kind of prove myself to these hitters how I can pitch up here, and that confidence just kind of helped me throughout my career, especially in the minors.
Well, Connor, in 2018, you moved up really fast through the organization. You started out with San Jose, moved up to Richmond. And that's when I got to see you. You came up to Sacramento for a little bit in 2018. I was doing television with Johnny Dosca, and we got to see a little bit, strike thrower and all the different things that were positive in all of your scouting reports. You ended up in that whole year, 28 starts, 9-10, 171 strikeouts. Was it harder at Richmond, or was it harder in Sacramento to watch hitters and kind of develop your stuff around them? Because that's when really kind of hitters are starting to get a little better.
Yeah, I'd say probably Sacramento definitely starts to get a little more tougher. The strike zone gets a little more smaller. The umpires getting a little bit better. Just you can kind of tell that step from Double A to Triple A, and especially those hitters are just kind of up and down from the big leagues too. So you know they know what they're doing, and so especially going from Double A to Triple A, it was a good adjustment for me to try to make, and then have success up there. And then like now we can go. Now we can go up to the big leagues and do the same exact thing.
Well, in 2019, you had to start off in Richmond again. I was a little puzzled because I got to see you in 18, but you started in 19. Was it frustrating at first to go back to Richmond?
I mean, yeah. Obviously, I want to try to get up as fast as I can, but I was just going to make the best of the situation that I could and just go out there and dominate and show them that I belong higher up in the ranks.
And you did, especially when you got back up to Sacramento, you tore it up. And then the call came. It came, and you got a chance to go to the big leagues. Can you tell us that day when you walked into the office, when they called you in and said, guess what, Connor, you're now a big leaguer. Tell me your thoughts on that and how excited were you?
It was great. We were up in Tacoma, Washington, actually, and I got the call in the middle of the night. I think it was like 12:30, 1 a.m. from our pitching coach, actually Steve Klein, because our manager was gone doing something, and it was one of the best days of my the best phone calls of my life. it was phenomenal. Like literally, adrenaline just kind of goes through your body. Like, oh man, like my dreams are about to come true, and it's going to be great. And yeah.
I got to ask you something. I know Steve Klein very well. He's a very good friend of mine. When he called you, were you going, are you messing with me, Steve? Are you serious? Because I know he's a jokester.
Exactly. Exactly. He's a big-time jokester, as you know that. But he had a serious voice on it. I could tell that he was serious about this call. And, yeah, you know, Steve. But it was great, you know. Best phone call of my life. Hung up the phone and called my fiance at the time. And told her the great news, and I told my parents after I told my fiance that, I told my parents right after that, and they were ecstatic for me too.
Well, let's go back in time. Your first Major League Baseball debut, you faced the New York Mets. So I'm going to ask you, I looked it up. Do you know the starting rotation you went up against? Do you remember that lineup at all?
Yeah, I remembered a little bit.
Okay. Fire away. I'm going to tell you if you did. I looked it up, and I know what they did against you. So go ahead. Fire away. Who was the leadoff hitter for the Mets?
I only remember the leadoff hitter. That's because that was my buddy, Jeff McNeil.
That's right. That's good.
That was my buddy, so I wanted to try to get him out. Especially
you did.
My first big pitch, which was great. Freaking first pitch fastball down and away, broken bat. So that's the pitch I really remember. Okay, I'm like, all right. Got that first pitch out of the way, like, now let's go and mow the rest of these guys down.
Yep. Well, your second hitter was J.D. Davis. You owned him. Then you had Pete
That's
Alonso,
right.
The big bear. You did well against
yep.
him. Wilson Ramos was following him. Now we start getting into a couple of hitters that you just didn't get to. Conforte. Michael Conforte.
That's
do you know
right.
what he did against you?
He was the one who hit the bomb off me, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did. And then Todd Frazier was right after him. You owned him. But what about the next guy? He played shortstop. You remember him?
Shoot. I don't.
Ahmed Rosario. Do you remember that
name? Oh, okay.
He hit a bomb off you.
Yep, I think that was I remember the pitches, but I don't remember the hitters.
Well,
That's
let
right.
me tell you something. That was his first home run he hit off that year, and he was hitting 215. So you got him, but he got you that time. But I tell you what, your first start, you threw really well. You went five innings. You only gave up three hits, two solo home runs, two walks, six strikeouts, 84 pitches, 57 of them for strikes, three ground ball outs, eight fly ball outs. When you came off that mound, what did you think you did that day? Were you excited about the outcome? You ended up getting a no decision, and the game went into extra innings. How did you feel you did after that?
Oh, I felt great after that game. Like, especially proving to myself that I can be there, I can get these big league hitters out. And, excuse me, I knew it was just I pitched a good game and that hopefully I get to stick around for a while.
Yeah, and you did. You stuck around eight games. You were up there for a while, 17 innings. But then 2020 came around, and, of course, COVID. I was cheering for you. I thought you threw the ball extremely well. You got sent down to the Sacramento to the alternate site, never got up. But you ended up going, had a 2.3 earned run average, pitching 11 and a third innings and eight strikeouts. And I was disappointed because I wanted to see you come back up. I'm still a big fan of you. Marty Lurie calls me your boy. And I do because I love watching you pitch. And I love how
that.
You're aggressive and how you're throwing, hitting corners and doing – everything about you, I just like watching you pitch, and I want to make that a point of me telling you that because you've changed a little bit for 2021. I see you're more aggressive. I believe your confidence in all your pitches. Tell me how you feel this year compared to last year.
This year, definitely compared to last year, just confidence a lot more through the roof. Literally, I'm just trying to focus on being dominant out there and trying to just throw the ball through the catcher. Mm-hmm. And it has to have everything, all my momentum, just kind of go towards the catcher and throw everything, basically all I got, and just keep the same arm speed with every single pitch. That's been my goal this year, and which I think has helped me a lot this year compared to last year and the years before, just being more aggressive when it comes down to it.
Well, the other day when you came in with bases loaded with one out and you punched two out, I think I was jumping out of my lazy boy. I was so fired up for you. And then especially in Texas coming in last game there, you threw the ball real well. Eight innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, two base runners. You got to feel confident in when you're going out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, for the rest of the season, I'll forever feel confident going out on that mound and knowing that I can get hitters out with my stuff. And if I give it all I got, give 100%, that I can get those hitters out and I'm just going to ride that for the rest of the season.
Hey, Connor, does it matter coming out of the bullpen? I know it's a different frame of getting ready, but how about warming up, a little quicker warming up now compared to being a starter?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what was good about last year, which I kind of definitely took into consideration for this year. From last year being in the bullpen, now I have more confidence of, like, what I need to do to get ready going into the game, being the long guy out of the pen. So now that I've done both, I just have confidence doing whatever they want me to, you know. It's just been good from knowing last year how to get my body ready and then bring it into this year and getting it ready to come into games.
Same thing about mental approach. Of course, I pitched, I was a starter, and then finished up my career as a reliever. Mental approach is a little more difficult because you don't know when you're going to get into the game, so every day you got to be prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of got an idea, especially if you haven't thrown in a while, or if the pitching coaches are really good with just communicating with you to see when you're going to throw, when the good possibility is to throw on each game. But you still never know. Like, you still wait for that phone call in the bullpen to see if that's going to be you or not. So, yeah, like you said, it is definitely different from start. So you definitely got to be a little more mentally checked in.
Yeah, and once that name is called, that heartbeat gets going, and the nerves start rolling, and you start asking, who's up next? What do I need to do? And those are all good things, though, because you're preparing yourself to go on that hill.
Yep, absolutely.
So I got to ask you a couple questions there as we finish up. I had Zach Littell on a couple weekends ago, and I said, well, how did you feel walking in that clubhouse as a new player? He goes, I still cannot believe Connor Menez has a beard like mine. I'm still floored by that.
I couldn't believe either. Yeah, when we showed up in spring training, I'm like, wow, bro, nice beard.
Well, I said to him, I said, so I know guys with beards like that, they have their own flavor, they have their own thing they got to do. He goes, oh, yeah, I oil it up, I cut it up, I trim it up. Is that something you do too? You brush and style it every day?
100%. Like, it takes a lot of work to try to maintain this little beard. You put beard oil in, beard balm. We got beard scissors to trim it up to make it look all nice and pretty.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it's a little more work than what people think and just kind of letting it ride. But, yeah, we both have that in common for sure.
So my last question to you, Connor, what foods can you eat and what foods can't you eat? Because you definitely can't dribble on that thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like, I mean, I basically can eat whatever I want, but, you know, just if it gets on my beard, then so what, you know, just wipe it off. So it's happened a bunch. I'm just probably just used to it, I guess.
Yeah, Zach says he tries to stay away from soups and chilies. And I go, yeah, I can see that. And he goes, yeah, it's not a good flavor.
Yeah, absolutely. Or save it for a little bit later.
And the wife has no problems with it then, huh?
No, the wife loves it. So that's
wow.
Even a bigger bonus.
That's even better. Hey, Connor, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for your time today. And just remember, I'm following you. I'm behind your back watching you. And there's a lot of Giant fans feeling the same way. And we want to wish you good luck for the rest of the year. And I will see you somewhere down the road at Oracle. I'll definitely come find you. And can't wait to see you again. And again, thank you for your time today, Connor, and good luck in Washington.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. Came to see you back at Oracle.
I appreciate your time. That was Connor Menez on Extra Innings, 104.5, 680, the sports leader. And we'll be right back.